This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org, which is the only place you can hear us today on October 18th, 2011. Tonight we have with us, I'm not sure if he wants to use an assumed name or your real name.
Just Casey.
Casey's with us. I've known Casey for some months now. He hasn't wanted to get on the radio before, but he feels ready now. So, Casey, you're playing a big part now in the Occupy Santa Cruz.
You know, just not too big of a part, but, you know, I'm doing my part.
A modest part. He's a very modest guy, but he is doing quite a bit.
What Occupy Santa Cruz means and what's going on with it?
It's really in solidarity with Occupy Wall Street. I'm sure a lot of you have been in touch with that movement for some time now, for I think about a month from today or about that. But really, we want every person to have an equal voice in the decision-making process, and that's just not happening with our current system right now. So just really basic, we have a consensus process where we strive to get every person's voice heard, and if they have a problem, we try to work with that and solve that so we can move along with the process.
Describe some of the actions and some of the groups that form the actions and about the meetings in particular and what happens.
The actions that we take, we have different committees that you can join into, one of them being the direct action, in which they formulated numerous marches, and really it's in a way a hub for people to come to and sort of voice what types of actions they are having, and people from the occupation may or may not feel inspired and feel like they want to go, but it's a great place to meet a large amount of radical folks and have a great discussion.
This is Coral Reef and Freedom, and I, who are here interviewing Casey, have been at some of the meetings at Occupy Santa Cruz, which is held down at the county courthouse, county building on Ocean Street, and we're on the Water Street side of it where it's legal to have these meetings every night so far.
Well, we're not sleeping there, so it's legal. Or you're not, as long as you don't lie down. The minute you lie down, you're lodging.
No, technically, lodging is a very large, or it gives the police a large amount of discretion to sort of shut down political protests. Essentially, they've made us take down easy ups. At first, they tried to tell us we can't be there at all, and then they told us, you know, wait, you can actually protest there.
They had to check with legal.
No, Lieutenant Amy came in to the rescue. But after Lieutenant Amy came in, she was just, they were like, yeah, you got to take these tarps down, all these tables and chairs and even the water bottles. Like,
this was at the courthouse.
This was right in front of the courthouse on Water Street. Uh-huh. Within an hour of us showing up there, setting up, we essentially moved there in response to a children's festival at Mission Plaza where we were going to camp and or occupy. And we obviously didn't want to disrupt any children's festival. And in fact, we in a way wanted to support them and help them out and work with each other. But the Santa Cruz Police Department declared that they were going to come and take all our stuff and arrest everyone there if we did not comply and leave.
And they would have. They've done it before.
Perhaps, yeah.
They're not doing it now, though, even though you're camping on city ground in the park area. I should explain to people that you guys are exploiting the different jurisdictions there. The county is on... I mean, the courthouse is on county land, and so you have your meetings there where you have visibility to the street, and people honk as they drive by, and it helps promote your group. Whereas you can't actually sleep there because they'll come in and arrest you and give you 6 months. My brother's going to jail for 6 months from the protest last year. But you're down on the city ground on the park, and they're, for some reason, they're not hassling this year at all. I mean, I don't know. Like you said, if you'd have gone to Mission, they probably would hassle. If you go to City Hall, they would probably hassle. But they're not hassling in the park for some reason so far.
You know, we Occupy Wall Street has got a lot of momentum. And we, unfortunately or fortunately, I don't really know, but Mike Rodkin has endorsed us along with his teacher, UCSC Teachers Union or whatever. And, you know, there's a lot of support here in Santa Cruz, and but you know, it doesn't mean that the city police department can't just
at any time because you aren't breaking the law in that area of the protest.
But fortunately, they can only give camping tickets, and
well, they could do the lodging too. They did give my brother some lodging ones, but they choose not to. Normally we have a call here. I'm gonna try and figure out how to put them on the air.
Is there a difference, Casey, between camping and lodging laws?
I asked that with the first confrontation with the Santa Cruz County Sheriffs, and I asked them specifically, was lodging synonymous with camping? And he's Officer Benson, or Sheriff Deputy Benson, or whatever, said yes. And, you know, he's just a deputy. He may or may not know the actual state code. So, you know, maybe he's not the person to say. Maybe we should leave it up to lawyers or whatnot. So,
yeah.
Robert, can you hear us?
I can.
I hear you.
Hey there, Carl.
Hey.
Robert just called in. You know, Casey, I met you through Huff, and you told me that Robert actually recruited you into politics. Is that true?
Essentially, I was...
or radical politics.
Or just politics in general. I didn't really start looking at getting involved in the way I have for pretty much until early this year, around March or something, where I was kind of giving out free soup. And
good way to start.
Yeah.
And that's what you're doing at the camp, essentially, too, right? You were part of Food Not Bombs. You're still doing the old job.
Yeah, I was that...
Early this year, around March or something, where I was...
What's that?
I was hanging up the phone.
Still here. Hello?
Oh, yeah, Robert, turn down your computer, please.
Oh, it's Robert.
I'm trying to turn it off, but I moved to another room, so all is well.
Now, how many years have you been on free radio?
Wait. Well, no, it's just, yeah, it's a little confusing. It's a little confusing.
Yes. Now you know how your guests feel, Robert. So, did you have a comment for Casey? I mean, you've worked together on several things.
Yeah, well, I was just listening to the discussion of the, you know, trying to... you know, outwit or outthink or make some sense out of what deputies and police do when they try to break up a protest or restrict it. You know, I mean, I slept there the first night at the Occupy and haven't been sleeping there since, but I was there when the police came after they drove away people from Mission Plaza. They didn't actually drive people away. They used Steve Plaich as a sort of a kind of a stalking horse, saying that kind of intimidating people at a distance. That was Vice.
He's a tall man.
He's a good-talking guy, but I think he's a little too close in his associations with the police department, and he takes them a little too seriously, because...
All right. Well, we want to know what Casey thinks about everything, since he's gone to a lot of the nights.
I won't say anything more, but I did want to just, you know, point out that it wasn't figuring out that there's a different jurisdiction or the generosity of the police. It was the fact that a lot of people there decided to stay regardless, and the police decided they didn't want to fuck with them, and that's what's going on. It has nothing to do with the fact that they're at the county building or at the park. They're in both jurisdictions.
Well,
they're illegal in all kinds of bases, but the fact is people are creating a public assembly, and I commend you, Casey, and everybody else who's doing that, and you, both of you as well, you know, Coral...
We don't do anything.
You're supporting this. Of course you do. You're publicizing it. You're there. You're supporting it. You know, it's all a group community effort.
I gave the direct action head a hard time today. They don't
That's okay. That's part of it.
You directly acted.
Yeah.
So Casey's been there every night. And,
well, yeah, Casey's sleeping there every night, right, Casey?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, unless you don't want to admit that.
It's totally fine. I totally support what this movement means, and so I have sort of, even though I do have a place to sleep up on campus, I share a room with a good friend, and yeah, and I essentially for the past, what, week and a half, 12 days or whatever, been just sleeping at the occupation. I haven't been there all day every day, but, you know, sometimes I got work or got other things going on, so I just come out and whenever I'm done with everything and, you know, show my support.
You know, Casey, you were the one that recommended or proposed that they, when they got kicked out of Mission, that they use the Water Street side of the courthouse for their assemblies so they get the publicity they wanted from Mission Street Park with some of the safety of less hassle from the cops. Am I wrong?
Yeah, but we still have still some disruptions from the people who sort of originally occupy San Lorenzo Park. However, I did... Yeah, propose it, but it was, you know, everyone else who agreed to that proposal. Uh-huh.
You also proposed that they move the camp from being deep in the park where no one could see it out to the headlands closer to the steps of the courthouse where you're still on city land, but it's a much nicer spot and you can be seen from the bridge, you can be seen across the river, and it's got a huge teepee now. It looks like an Indian encampment, or, you know, like it had been 4,000 years ago or something. It just looks beautiful. You guys have done a great job.
Yeah, you know, that was, it was almost common sense, really. I almost don't know why we even picked that original spot, so...
I wasn't there. I was trying to do a show here. I wasn't a witness to why they picked San Lorenzo.
It just, you know, people were afraid of walking back and forth that far.
Yeah, it's dark in that little section.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, and I sort of knew the jurisdictions and everything, so, I just let people know that we could, and sort of talked with some people and got some support and, you know, proposed it to the General Assembly.
Mm-hmm. And it was working great. One small problem, though, some of the tents are opaque and the grass is turning yellow underneath, so now you're moving the tents so the grass doesn't die.
That was a recent...
discovery.
That was actually today we decided to do that. I proposed that to everybody else who was camping there in response to Robert Facer, Blind Bear. He was concerned that the grass was dying, and he was actually pissed off, something I hadn't seen. So
he designed the teepee, too. He designed the teepee, and his teepee, since it leaks, you know, the air is open to the air, so it gets water, and it's light, and so sun gets in there, so the grass isn't green where the teepee, so you don't really have to move the teepee, right?
And sort of the reason why there's a hole in the top, that something I didn't sort of realize before, that it lets some water to come in to water that grass, so they just push, when they wake up, push all their stuff, roll it all up, push all their stuff to the side, and so it kind of keeps the grass nice, rather than... you know, we're still trying to figure out what we do, where we're going to do with like all the food and easy ups and stuff like that. That's covering, not getting watered or, and is kind of being trampled upon. But, I sort of suggested putting things onto tarps and just when we get up, slide it to a new location. So
now you did this outside the General Assembly, right?
The General Assembly, is a compilation of, you know, people who camp and people who don't camp, and this is something that sort of regards
camp business.
And we, to my understanding, I think we were starting to implement a camp meeting and sort of general guidelines or requirements of staying at the camp, so make people feel a little more safe and have things run a little more smoothly. There have been sort of accounts of that I have heard of of it being sort of anti-homeless or houseless.
I wanted to ask something about that.
Yeah.
Okay, go for it, Robert.
You know, we normally have a meeting of HUF, Homeless United for Friendship.
Where is that tomorrow, Robert?
That is Wednesday. Well, that's a good question. I wanted to ask your advice in case you and Coral decide you want to come.
Well, I want to tell you, Robert, they're finally actually going to do some direct action targeted at the banks. Starting at 9 o'clock throughout the day, and they're also going to do a silent sign protest at the foreclosure steps on the government. They're not sure if it's 12 or 1:30 for sure yet, what time. So they're going to try both times and see what happens.
Isn't that on Friday that the auctions happen?
Well, you know, somebody told me it was every day at 1:30, who's, you know, works in the government building. I don't want to reveal her name.
Really? Because what I'm told by a property owner who goes to those things is it's Friday, but maybe...
What time?
We also heard it was a Wednesday.
Somebody said it was Wednesdays at 12.
Maybe someone will call in.
Well, yeah, with our...
Get some more confusion.
We don't get enough listeners to get call-ins, Robert.
Well, you know, normally we do this meeting from 10 to 12, but I, you know, maybe it'd be best to, you know, hold off the meeting this week because maybe... I mean, I know there's this Cafe Huff happening. You've heard about that, right?
We did see it. I saw Becky at the table.
Had some
yeah,
coffee.
Good for her, man. I toast her for... Bringing down coffee, I think that's a great idea.
You know, they decided last night at the occupation that people can act autonomously.
Oh, they decided that, didn't
yes.
How exciting, yes.
So you could, you know, start huff tabling there or something.
Yeah, well, actually, it's a public space and anybody can do whatever the fuck they
want. That's right.
Exactly.
And it's always been that way, Robert.
Technically,
they just formally acknowledged it last night.
Technically, you want to say more about that?
Well, yeah, this was all a part of the first interaction with the sheriff deputies, and I asked him if it was public land, why do we have to ask permission of the owner? And so I was like, who?
You have my permission. I'm a part owner.
Yeah, and so I was like,
when you go to court and they ask you if you have permission of the owner, you tell them, "Free told me I could stay, and this is the land of the free."
Here, here.
Okay.
So I asked them, like, so who is the owner of this public land? And they responded, it was the CAO, County Administrative Office.
That's the controller, not the owner.
I asked if it was the owner, and this is how they
actually, yes, he said that the, I actually played your interaction with Jen Hansen on my show, and it was Susan Mariello.
Of course.
Quoted, he couldn't even think of her name at the moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's the controller.
We all had to leave. You couldn't have any signs. You know, and then people said, "Well, wait, you said, as I recall, Casey, well, we got a consensus on this. We got to talk about it."
Yeah,
I mean, you know, and then, well, you may all be getting tickets. You better hurry up. Blah blah blah.
Bluff, bluff, bluff.
And eventually, as I said, it isn't, you know, what the law is because they're, you know, they will use or not use any law they can find depending on what their wishes are. It was your determination to come to a decision that made them step back and has made them step back for 2 weeks. Although, you know, you're going to face probably citations, tickets, and arrests at some point.
At some point, yeah.
If you start getting affected with these protests you say are happening tomorrow, you know, there's going to be pressure to shut this down. And that means you're going to have to come to some decisions. I think maybe you can talk about, has there been discussion what to do in the event of arrest, what to do? I understand there's a legal fund that's growing and so
forth. Yeah, but we don't know who that money's for or what. It's hard to tell what's going on there because there is no hierarchy or, you know, it's just people doing what they think needs to be done at the time or else it has to go through a big meeting.
It seems like there's a sort of a solidarity happening there, though. There's more of a sense of connection and community going on. And, you know, people are getting inspired and encouraged and, you know, that's been my impression. I'm not only there every other day, and I'm only there for brief periods of time.
I have a question for you, Robert. Is the antenna up?
The free radio antenna is, as I understand, up, but it won't be operational for a week because there's a delay in the DSL.
Right. Okay, so in a week we'll be on air, and I want to give you thanks because you were the ones, you know, pushing to get that damned antenna up here. What's holding things up at the meeting?
Well, I think, you know,
I thought it was very well. You did a good job, Robert. You actually did some solid organizing there. We got it up because you kept pushing.
Well, we all did. You were.
Everybody contributed, but nobody was going to, you know, you were the one that just lit a fire and let's get this going. So thank you, Robert.
Oh, well, you're welcome. And I think the problem is people are, they have so many things they're trying to do. Sandino's doing stuff in Watsonville, Louis holding down a 9 to 5, and
well, this protest takes everybody's time. It takes forever.
Yeah, I mean, and it's, you know, Casey, you're working tomorrow too.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Otherwise, you know, you might even show up at a Huff meeting. Who knows?
Where are you having the Huff meeting, Robert?
Well, that's the question, whether we should have it at all. That's why I'm really asking.
I got to come in town for all these direct actions since, you know, I was kind of abusive in the meeting today to the direct action people. So I got to at least show up for them after pushing for
them. Well, we could do the Huff meeting. Either we could do it at the Sub Rosa, where we usually do it, or in the basement of the county building where you can at least have tables.
All right, let's do it at the Sub Rosa then, and we'll just mosey on over there.
Or we can do it as Becky wants to do it, and she's the coffee person, at, you know, in front of the county steps of the county building. So I don't really quite know what. Maybe people can call in and say what they'd like to do if anybody is listening and interested in coming to this meeting. Huff, in case people don't know, is a homeless civil rights group. But I think it's very pertinent because, as you pointed out, people who are facing jail now, they're facing under the same laws that are now being used against or threatened to be used by the against the Occupy Santa Cruz folks.
Mm-hmm. And Gettleman is going to be the lawyer now, and he's already written a whole bunch on 640E, so he's fully prepared. We're ready.
Well, for one person, Linda, perhaps he'll, yeah. It'd be nice if we could get together and get him involved with the Occupy Santa Cruz people, too.
He is their attorney now of note or whatever.
Well, he is their attorney.
Yes. Ed resigned the other day because they have no mission statement, so how can he defend somebody who, you know...
has no direction.
And there was a mission statement takeover group.
He took that over, too, yeah. The philosophy and strategy were arguing for 2.5 hours over, like, trivial, whether to use the word mission and all this other stuff, so it's...
Interesting. It's not so much, you know, the substance of that they're arguing about. It's the fact that people find a way to communicate with each other and trust each other and find a way to support each other. And that happens in strange ways, you know.
I like how you put that, Robert, having attended your meetings, which are generally...
Fuck off!
That's right. You know what I want to do? What I want to do? Well, fuck you. I'm not doing it.
I am running this show in mind, man. Actually, it's your show. You're running the show.
Meanwhile.
Actually, you use direct voting, Robert. Anybody can vote on your stuff, and it's majority rules. This one, it's a full consensus at
All
Occupy
right.
Santa Cruz.
I want to hear what the future you think looks like, Casey.
I'm going to roll on you.
All right.
Let me know if you come up with some decisions about where you think the Huff meeting should be. Let me know, because I will respond to the will of the majority.
It should be marching to the banks. It's starting at 9. This is where it should be.
We aren't going to be there at 9, though. We'll be there at, you know, we'll be showing up at 10.
I'm suggesting it. Okay, that's my vote.
You know, I was joking at some of these long-running meetings. You know, they ought to just hold them in front of the banks, and then they'd actually accomplish something.
In a sense, if people want to join that, sure. Yeah, that's why I'm thinking we might want to wait and let people, you know, go to the demonstrations if that's what they want to do.
I mean, Occupy Santa Cruz is the big news right now. Huff is little news, Robert, so I think you might have to go to Occupy Santa Cruz.
Hey, man, we were there first.
That's true. We were the vanguard.
Yeah.
Although that wasn't even mighty, Huff, Robert. That was Huff affiliates who started the last protest.
Yeah, well, all right, then. I'll let you guys go, even though I should be the center of the show.
That's,
you know,
right.
Talk to you later.
All right, go find someone to hug, Robert.
Bye, Casey.
Okay, bye.
See ya.
Okay, that was... Robert Norris, who has a show on Thursday from 6 to 8, and a show on Sunday from 9:30 to 1. And in the studio, we have Casey. I don't know if you want me to say your last name, but living good.
Yeah, I am living good.
And his...
So Occupy Santa Cruz isn't the only thing. You were active in Huff. You've been you're working part-time at the Sub Rosa for nothing. You're involved in quite a few groups.
Food Not Bombs, mm-hmm. Police Obsolescence.
You brought Food Not Bombs back.
No
one was doing it when you did it. It hadn't been done for months.
Yeah, I started it. I tried to start it back up, and you know, I didn't get too much support. I got some just from a couple people, but as I went to this Ohlone march, I sort of just overheard people talking about Food Not Bombs. I was like, well, who's doing Food Not Bombs? And the guy who was doing it happened to be like right next to me. So mm-hmm.
Well, they formed their own, this I think was Max House or something. They'd also formed one a few, like a month or two after you did it, like once mm-hmm. for the homeless at the end of the month when their food stamps run out, some little meal for the and it was at the City Hall, and it was a sleepover, and then you got a ticket the next night when you were the only one sleeping there. Always have numbers. That's the key to not getting tickets.
That was interesting situation when I did get a ticket.
Have you gone to trial on that yet?
I'm just sort of ignoring
that. Oh, you're blowing it off.
I don't believe in that. So, the police officer I talked to, he woke me up around like 2 or 3 in the morning. And just told me to, and I asked him, like, where can I sleep? I kind of pretended I was from out of town, but, you know, I asked him, where could I sleep? And he said, like, out of town.
Just get out of here.
Or, you know, in the woods, you know, where most people go. Or just, and so I just, I didn't
He advised you to
like
sleep
that.
In the woods. He advised you to break the lodging law.
Yeah, I mean, actually, the Poganimp is still city property, so yeah,
you could get tickets there. Well, I heard there's a lot of ticks and stuff in the Poganimp.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know. But yeah, and I don't know, other things I've been involved with. Not much past that. Just been sort of loafing around town.
Sub Rosa, and you've done a lot of work with Robert.
A lot of work, legal work.
Freedom of Information Act stuff you've done. Stuff.
I tried to help Jonathan Gettleman with the 647E case. Read some court cases. He said I helped him to sort of refine his argument. Mm-hmm. Or just like sort of lead him in the right direction, something like that. I don't know, but whether that's actually true or not, who knows? But I just really don't want our physical necessities to be inhibited or prohibited in any way. So
just for the rich, only the rich can sleep, not the poor.
Yeah, the rich and poor can sleep under the bridge.
Yeah, not sleep under the bridge equally.
You know what I'm saying. But, yeah. So, but essentially this whole Occupy movement is all about, justice through
economic justice.
Economic, social, and environmental, and, but a lot of people have been criticizing Occupy Wall Street and Santa Cruz and whatnot, all these different occupations, for not really having a particular direction or, a clear statement of demands and stuff like that.
Wall Street does have one, though. I saw, get the federal out of this and that, free elections, things.
Yeah, but I feel like that's all part of, the media sort of portrays it in that way, where, we're disorganized, we don't really have a clear direction or something like that. And, this is just primarily mainstream media at work, They mm-hmm. Sort of want to skew the mainstream public and in favor of the perhaps 1% or whatever.
They want to pigeonhole you into something that's easily identified.
Yeah. And so,
I mean, people drive by and go, get a job or things like that sometimes. But although most people, I was tracking the honking and it was like 10 or 15% of the people support it.
Yeah, there's plenty of honking. It's mm-hmm. really, I've never experienced anything like this ever in my life.
Yeah.
I'm just out there sitting around and I hear people, every once in a while you'd be walking down the street and, you'd hear someone yell at you like, ooh, maybe they're drunk or whatnot. But, out at Occupy Santa Cruz, you hear that like every minute,
bus drivers too.
Yeah. But, so that's really awesome to hear. It would be even more awesome if they can pull over and join us or figure out whatever we're about. So, but I did come across this, this statement someone point out, Be the Change, by Andrew Marshall, mm-hmm. About mainstream media. It's called The Mainstream Media Is Not Your Friend, and I kind of wanted to read it.
The press is not your friend. Go ahead.
Perhaps, yeah.
We're not your friend either. We're the press. We can embarrass you.
It's semi-long, not really. I'll try to keep it short. But goes, the focus of the media, pundits, and politicians alike in regards to the movement has been to focus on how disorganized, in quotations, it is, and how it has no clear single message and no clear demands. The media does this in order to apply social pressure to the movement to organize and make demands, and thus make the movement more capable of being co-opted and controlled.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the media does not like grassroots movements with a diverse array of people, with a diverse array of perspectives, interests, ideas, and issues, because the media paints a picture of the world for public consumption, which is black and white, left and right. The media and its pundits cannot comprehend such a movement because it does not fit in with their worldview. Therefore, they will attempt to shape it to fit within the narrow confines of their worldview. Do not bend to the social pressure of media. Be aware of the media, engage the media, attempt to influence the media, but do not let the media influence the movement.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really a powerful statement. Again, it was by Andrew Marshall. He's from, I think, Canada. Let me see. Yeah. And an independent researcher and writer based out of Montreal, Canada. So I thought that was a good response to a lot of people's arguments regarding, you know, we have no direction. But it's really just a way for people who never really have a chance or had a chance to voice their opinions or concerns or whatever to the governing bodies. This is a way for them to come out and give their voice and share their story with the rest of the community, at least part of the community who is informed of Occupy Santa Cruz. So, yeah, and that's just really compelling. You know, we see, you know, Stop Smart Meters, that whole organization, where they actually have an ordinance against the installation of smart meters, and in a way, their voices are being oppressed. And, you know,
And these are the same sheriffs that are hassling you, aren't stopping the corporations from installing those smart meters, even though there's a law against it. They pick and choose which laws they enforce and against whom.
Yeah, and this is just the type of power the police or the sheriffs have in our communities. You know, they're able to not even obey their own laws or enforce their own laws when they just feel like they have the discretion to enforce sort of ambiguous, vague laws, like the anti-lodging law, 647E. There is a, along the lines of police, there is a sort of National Police Brutality Awareness Day on Saturday, October 22nd. It's starting at 2 p.m. at the Occupation in Santa Cruz, and that will be at the the steps of the courthouse on Water Street. So if you want to go and sort of just not only see what police brutality and has happened locally, you can just sort of be aware of what kind of police brutality kind of happens in the United States. So
it's that's what kind of propelled this movement into national prominence, is the police brutality in New York. It was kind of fading away until those videos started popping up on YouTube. I don't think that's going to happen in Santa Cruz. The police are a little smarter. Usually the big city police are the worst, because it's hard to get rid of a government employee in the first place because of, you know, government is hard to fire people. They have particularly in the big cities, because you would have to prove misconduct is very difficult to prove, because you have to prove a pattern of it. And in a big city of over a million people or something, you got to prove a lot of cases, you know, at least 40 cases. And that's like 40 different trials. Who's going to do that? And who has the money to do that? So essentially they stay in their job and they continue to brutalize people. Here there was, I think it was Sergeant Baker was accused of molesting women. He did keep his job, but I don't know. I haven't heard. There's been some brutality, but not a lot in Santa Cruz. They're a little savvy on that.
Yeah, or, you know. It is Santa Cruz, and it's kind of, you know, has a laid-back feel. But I do feel like Occupy Santa Cruz, and specifically, has a lot of mainstream support. Mike Rodkin endorsed it.
Kennedy was there the first night, too.
Yeah, Don Lane has been showing up occasionally. So
Steve Plaich is all over it. Not yet on the city council.
Yeah, but, you know, it's going to probably try to go for it next year. So, I mean, I just want to, there is a sort of a large divide between reformism and revolution at Occupy Santa Cruz. And so it's, you know, we want to include everybody, and what direction the Occupy movement is going to go, is sort of up to the people who are involved with Occupy, the Occupy movement. So,
and the consensus. Any single person can block a lot of this stuff.
Yeah. You know, I'm in support of, you know, a supermajority where it's like 99%, rather. You know, obviously the 1% is going to come down and be like, hey, this is completely against my beliefs and livelihood and stuff like that, you know? Questionable to their livelihood.
Right now in the steps, there's less than 100, so a single block would be within the 99%.
Number of people.
That's why I want to push them to do more direct action. Some successes would bring a lot more people in. As well as if cops were busting heads, that would bring a lot more people in. But right now, it's been static for some time now. It really isn't growing as far as I can see.
Yeah. No, we've been slowly growing, you know, 3 or 4 people
the camping,
every night.
Yeah,
camping. For camping.
But the assembly hasn't really been growing.
Yeah, yeah. They, you know, it's...
The assembly, I've noted that there has been some that have dropped out that were loud and boisterous that I don't hear, or maybe that were using alcohol or type of thing.
It depends on the night. It's probably Friday and Saturday if you want to hear that.
Yeah,
that's why I don't go those nights.
You know, it's a constant issue of people being disruptive, whether it's alcohol or just mental disabilities. So we are sort of devising ways how to... sufficiently handle that problem. We don't, you know, want to exclude these people. We, you know, we are actually all like generous and inclusory. So, it's actually a really difficult situation.
And if we had the same same problem last year, same problem.
So, you know, if anyone has any ideas, you know, please let us know. yeah, that's you know.
If you know how to end crime or war, let us know.
It may come into play as an issue because of what that could mean for the land that you're camping on, and some of the property damage, and some of the trash that people used to leave last year. And then the police sheriffs come in and use it as a means to close it down. And
I heard they've been taking pictures.
Predict it, but people got to know what they're going to do is in reaction when, or if we do a protest where we go into the bank and they might bring some kind of force against us. What are we going to do when that happens?
You know, we are a nonviolent group of people who. Are getting more and more interested in nonviolent civil disobedience. So I get the feel that a lot of people are ready to make that step to actually being disobedient rather than being obedient and complying to all the police, even though the police have been, you know, in a sense, allowing us to... be there or do marches and
the city police. Yeah, yeah. The city police have been pretty mild. The county has been kind of mild. They've been the county hassled. The city, when you moved it, the city. I heard they were going to start. They threatened to start ticketing, but they didn't. The next right?
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
The threat. Yeah, there was a threat a few days ago, 3 or 4 days ago,
Friday morning or something. They were going to start ticketing, but they didn't.
Yeah, and you know, I was there that night, and they definitely did not ticket us. Or I don't even think they showed up, but
it was right after the move. I think that had something to do with it.
Actually, like the same exact night, they were threatening Occupy Wall Street of shutting it down to so-called clean the park. So maybe they watched and saw that the police there didn't, you know, clean the park, and so maybe they didn't want to clean ours, or I don't know. Their reasoning for, you know...
They're scared.
But, or maybe, you know, it was just one woman cop. It is totally...
Oh, okay.
Who made that threat, and...
There you go.
And maybe she just, like, got back on duty and did not know what was going on. So, we don't really know. But we're trying to, you know, keep tabs on what they're planning or might be planning, if at all. So... that we can sort of be prepared for.
Mm-hmm. My thinking is that they're scared if they pull something, break some heads, or any kind of thing that's going to get a lot of press, make them look bad, that hundreds, perhaps thousands of people will come from San Francisco and Oakland to help support us. And
not only that, you know, it might just generate local support, more people
too,
coming
yeah.
out and donating or just showing up and having their presence there. And
although there was relatively no local support when the homeless were started getting tickets. So.
Yeah. I know my friends would be appalled if I didn't enact in any type of nonviolent. If I was brutalized or arrested or anything happens to me, my friends will have my complete support.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're a nice guy. Everybody, I could tell the tone of the General Assembly when they announced their name is. Oh, Casey, all right, Casey.
Well, you're a nice guy. One person.
And so,
right.
You know,
but he's a nice guy. I'm just saying he's a nice guy.
You know, them, you know, even if the police do figure out who I am and they, or like how much I'm contributing, you know, if it is much at all. And they decide to target me and arrest me or whatever, that's actually just going to be detrimental to their cause and actually rouse people a bit more than they would probably like. So,
Yeah, they can't.
That's not a threat, but, you know, it's just, you know, just facts probably. I don't know.
They can't. One person isn't going to stop this. I mean, they arrested Chris last time, and it did kind of slow down the peace camp protest.
Yeah,
for a minute, but it, this one
it got a lot of tension.
There's so many other people, capable people around, and there's so many people vying for their viewpoint that somebody missing and somebody else just fill it in. That's not going to stop it. They're going to have to shut everyone down pretty much, and like I said, then they're going to have to face hundreds of people showing up from.
It's actually really funny about Peace Camp 2010. You know. If they were effectively able to stay there for a longer period or, like, gain more support, like, where was the support, you know, like, now?
There was
like,
no support.
There really wasn't. And
no, because it was poor homeless people. This is the middle class jumping on a trend.
Yeah, and, you know, I appreciate, you know, perhaps the middle class or, you know, people starting to realize and get on board, but, you know, what happened to that, you know, old, you know, first they started going for the Jews,
exactly.
And then blah, blah, blah. You know, like, that whole idea that I feel like a lot of people need to actually be, people need to just read that quote every day. Like,
that's right. They're coming for you tomorrow.
Have it on your ceiling when you wake up, you know. But
that's why I don't like to be photographed, so they don't know who they're coming for when they come for me.
But, like, you know, I wasn't really involved in, you know, this kind of stuff until this year. And so I
you've done a great job, Casey, for a newbie.
Yeah. So you've had a large learning curve that happened quickly over the year, this last year.
Well, he's open to new ideas. I mean, we work with a lot of radicals, and usually after a few years, they have their shtick. That's what they do, you know, whatever it may be. But you don't really have a stick yet. You're just kind of searching what works, and you're trying a lot of interconnecting other groups. And I really feel you're sincere. You're not really in it to be get publicity or form your own movement or anything like that. You just want to help people.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, a little more cohesion, you know, networking is power, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you, you know, build a lot of support and connect a lot of different organizations that are actually striving for the same thing, they just don't really know it. They can't connect the primary dot, which is, you know, capitalism.
You've been hanging with the anarchist, buddy.
No. This was my own thoughts before I even came into Sabroso. So,
okay.
I really, before, in high school, I, you know, from, you know, sort of, I had a discussion with my friend, like, what if there was a world without money, you know, like, this kind of dialogue I was thinking about, you know, even in high school, but I wasn't getting involved in that kind of stuff. You know, I feel like, the Cash Nexus, if anyone really knows what that is, implemented a barrier between, between human relationships.
And what's the Cash Nexus? I don't know what it is.
It's sort of the creation of cash, money, monetary value that we.
I think Alexander the Great brought that to a lot of places, and it actually improved their economies.
Yeah, I'm not saying
because they're going to barter other ways. It just made bartering easier than bartering.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but not a lot of people realize that it can be a bad thing if they tend to value money over other people.
And
that's just what capitalism primarily supports, you know, profit over people. And
as you were saying in the media, I noticed that people are a lot meaner. They just care about themselves compared to like the 60s or 70s. You know, juries, you want a jury trial, you're going to get it off. So we found out last year here, the juries are pretty hard. I mean, they don't really care about other people all that much. I think we've been indoctrinated by the media to just look out for number one. The other guy's competing with you for salary and stuff. So, you know, look out for yourself first.
Yeah. And, you know, we see this type of mentality all over the place. And if you just walk down the street, you can just, you know, connect the dots, you know, to that one main point. And it's just, in a way sort of depressing, or at least it was before the Occupy movement came around, because it just felt like you couldn't do anything about it. Mm-hmm. And especially, you know, all these students who are, you know, learning stuff like this on campus, UCSC, all the UCs, or any school that's teaching this, I felt in a way depressed. I was, you know, learning all this depressing stuff that's happening all around the world, and even, you know, locally, and
internalizing it and things,
and in a way, I just felt like I couldn't do anything about it.
And now you're doing something.
Yeah.
Well, this movement brings about hope that maybe there is a chance that people can unite.
Yeah, you know, that's what we need, you know. In a sense, I kind of use this kind of a lot when I talk to some people, but when you look at capitalism, it's an example, like diamonds. When you have less diamonds, it just sort of inflates the value of the diamond. And
yep.
But if you look at the same for, you know, relationships, you know, or just connections in general, with other people or other things, like a phone is a perfect, it's a network. It's useless by itself. And, the more connections, the more phones that you have, around the country, the more useful it actually is. And that's the same for, like, you know, protests and, you know, building support and connecting organizations with organizations. Mm-hmm. Like, when you make more of these connections, it's actually more powerful and more, valuable for, making some type of change. So.
You're exactly right. A lot of the peace movement was built on the civil rights movement that came before. You know, a lot of people learned how to organize and stuff. I think a lot of people have forgotten, or they've adopted methods that don't work as well or something, because the right has been killing us for 30 years now.
So essentially those who like to organize, you know, are anti-capitalist. So there's plenty of those out there. So
is the intention of the assembly members, do you think, to keep this going every night, or will there be a point where... might happen like every 3 days or every week?
No, it's assembly's intention, it's my full intention to keep this going as long as it needs to until we make some change, some type of real change, not just, you know, hey, we gave, you know, affirmative action, there you go, and then, you know, and then what erupted out of the civil rights movement or whatever, and, you know, or...
Let's say some of the leaders are arrested for BS reasons or any reason, then more people will step up.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas other causes, sometimes it falls apart.
You know, they can try to arrest, you know, us, but they're still the main movement, Occupy Wall Street and all around the world are still going to thrive and eventually encompass the entire world. So
that's a good point. Yeah.
So, I mean, we're all doing our part to help out and... you know, build more of a community, you know.
While one falls away, a bigger one will enter, and that's the people united, never be divided.
Exactly. And, you know, a lot of people are like, what are you against? What are you, you know, like, what are you trying to, you know, demand or whatever? And, you know, we're not really against anything, you know. We're for building the community, for each other, and, you know, and for helping one another out, because... we all know that we can't, you know, run this system by ourselves. We need to work together. And you know, vying all the time, or competing in, you know, a capitalist market, and is all just sort of detrimental for our cause or for the people, because the sole strive of a business, you know, which capitalism is surrounded around, is to make a profit. And in response, that pushes, like, laborers aside, and they're just laborers, not people. And that's really kind of messed up. So that's just one example. Like, there's, you know, and what sort of legitimates this process is this huge pool of unemployed workers that that creates this allowance of abuse for laborers. Mm-hmm. And
so supply and demand, there's always a certain amount unemployed. We've never had zero unemployment as far as I know, so they can always pay you less than what you're really worth because there's somebody there to take your job if you make too much noise.
Yeah, and so we can't just continue to like believe that a system which supports this type of behavior, these types of actions, in its essence, at its core, we can't continue to live by this system and expect that we're going to create the changes needed to allow the human race to thrive. We have like environmental degradation. That's, you know, like the Pacific garbage patch. Like, mm-hmm. What's going on to help clean that up? we need
form a subcommittee for that.
Yeah, we need massive environmental cleanups, like ASAP.
Who's going to pay for that? Not the people that made the mess, of course.
Oh, no, actually, BP. I saw a commercial about a month or two ago where BP was like, it's clean, you know. You can go back there now. It's clean.
We put sand over the top. It's clean.
So, you know, it's not clean. It takes, you know, decades for that kind of stuff to actually be rehabilitated. So, I'm in full support of ridding capitalist ideals and instilling some type of new system that actually... you know, is effective in dealing with all these types of social, economic, and environmental issues. So,
what kind of currency would you see, or would you see a society based on the barter system of sorts? Would that require a lot more social and spiritual and philosophical change to get to that point where money is not, you know, the end-all be-all, you know, where you use it to give to a laborer? I know it's probably like a few years down the road before we get that way, but just to have rights for people who give a lot of their, you know, daily life and don't get anything for it. And mm-hmm. the people that are being thrown out of dignity villages that used to have careers that you know built their family and their mm-hmm. whole life on, and then just to be chucked out of these places and
it's not America
across
anymore.
The country, they're the ones that are in full awareness of what it feels like to be treated the way that they're being treated, you know, without any kind of voice.
I mean, most of the people who come out to occupy Santa Cruz are people who have had bad experiences in the system in which we are living, and it just comes to testament, what needs change. And there's all types of, you know, signs laying out on the grass and, you know, the courthouse of all different types of messages people mm-hmm. are portraying. And we just need to listen to these voices and realize that, you know, something actually needs to be done, not just sitting around on the couch, you know, in the comfort of your home while others are out, you know, who still have homes but are actually devoted to making this work and devoting a significant part of their lives to helping each other out, helping us live the, you know.
So. And children and future generations live, too.
All right.
I can hear you.
Exactly.
In a way that the kids won't have to be, you know, suffering so much or in just disgust about how they have to live now that mm-hmm. that they get to be in adults. How it
yeah.
is.
Yeah. Well, Casey's generation is going to get screwed. My parents, you know, they got screwed in the 30s, but they did ever since then was pretty good up until when they died. But now we're entering a time where
it feels
less
horrible
opportunities.
That you guys have to survive, yep. have to inherit that.
No money for, you know, more work.
Yeah, in all actuality, like, a lot of people talk about the baby boom. Like, mm-hmm. we are really the baby boomers. there's much larger population now than there there was, you know, back in the...
It's a second. You're the kids of the baby boomers, so it's a second bulge.
Yeah, so it's just going to keep, you know, like, pay it forward. You know, everyone saw that movie where, you know, it just exponentially grows, and that's what's happening. And so we have to come up with creative ideas to deal with these types of, you know, overpopulation problems. And, you know, when we make cuts to education, you know, like... Mm-hmm. That is the complete opposite direction in which we need to go.
But the 1% likes that because that means you'll be easier to manage. You won't know how to fight back against them because you're less educated.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of obvious, you know, kind of dumbing the society. So.
Yeah, that's the first thing slaves want when they get their freedom is an education. Yeah.
Well, let's say that the police, for example, are the ones paid to defend the 1%. I mean, laws are passed by more than 1%, but they're honoring just them. And isn't it going to be a case where we're also going to need a system that keeps certain, you know, the people that are in the 99% in check?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying I have all the answers now. I'm like, by myself. But, you know, we're not going to get the answers with, you know, by cutting education, essentially.
Yeah, that's like eating your seed corn.
Yeah. So, just a little 2 cents.
Yeah, and the food quality that's also being affected by GMOs. That's a area that many people are looking at too, and that.
Everything degrades, get worse. That's why I think this is kind of like hell. It doesn't ever seem to get better. It's a little bit worse.
That if you do live inside, you run the risk of not being able to be in control of what they put on your house as far as reading your gas
meter
because it can invade your privacy. So the idea of privacy is becoming almost moot. We don't have privacy in this day and age because of worldwide access to everything.
Yeah. Surveillance.
You know, and essentially, you know, that's bad for us, but it's also bad for the government, which stores all their files, you know, in a computer database. You know, WikiLeaks may be one of the most significant actions that sort of might have led to a revolution today. So
yes.
It just sort of, for those who don't
know, open the floodgates, for those as they say.
You know, for those who don't know, like, it was done by hacking, you know. And I went to a computer class in high school, and one of the first things I learned was that there is no safe space on the internet. There, you know, it's just not there because somebody at some point will be able to hack into it. And Bradley Manning is just, you know, one example of that, and Anonymous is another. So,
There's somebody from Anonymous. There's a few people from Anonymous at the camp. There's like five, and then of course Commander, the notorious Commander X, former leader of Peace Camp 2010.
Yeah, Commander X is kind of kooky at first, but then you know, he's actually really enjoyable to be around and actually to have on your side.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
He'll get you in trouble, though. Watch out for that guy.
He goes to bed too early for my taste.
Yeah.
Well, he's homeless.
Yeah.
I mean, the government won't even admit he's homeless. The feds go, oh, no, couldn't be a homeless man that's destroying our whole computer infrastructure. That's not possible. Yeah. This man is definitely not homeless.
Yeah. That's.
They can't admit it.
Threw me off guard as well, so.
Well, it's like, yes, this guy should be doing something productive for society, but because there are no opportunities for him.
Well, he said that the guys that helped him start the cyber revolution that are now in places of power have had to relinquish their place and give him and make him the president or head of it because he's willing to be, you know, spokesperson for it, and they're not able to, and that he is speaking out about what Anonymous does, and he's the one that started. It was in the beginning of a lot of the movements that started. I could go on about.
He's a very charismatic person.
He's been part of a lot of worldwide things on, you know, cyber wise. And today said that he got almost all the emails for all the Occupy events in across the United States.
He's running
for
the feed.
20%.
He's running the audio feed. I forget where you can find it.
It's, I believe, oscradio.tk.
Yeah.
That so. Has live feed of the meetings every night.
Yep. I think it's just from like two or three. There's only like two or three on there right now, but yeah, it'll continue to grow as
And the rest of the
well.
News is on OccupySantaCruz.org?
Yeah, OccupySantaCruz.org, or go to their Facebook page, Occupy Santa Cruz. Yeah.
I won't go to Facebook.
And they'll be posted there, I heard. How do you see yourself as a media spokesperson for some of these? Because you speak very well, and you're
I've told you that before, Casey. You could actually run for city council. You're the best. Robert would never be a candidate.
Well,
but you could actually
do
be
you
one.
Think that this movement is about getting this government together or splitting into its own government? Or what's your opinion?
My opinion is that it's completely sovereign, that, you know, we're not going to engage in any type of political party, you know, we're a new party now. Like, this is, you know, completely sovereign from the United States of America. And so, essentially, yeah.
I've been working on something along those lines, but it won't be sovereign from the U.S., but maybe it'll get the cops off your back.
A different country.
We'll see something. Well, different city. You can incorporate it as a city.
Didn't that whole new city in a city be formed in Washington, D.C.? I don't know if it was there.
I'm going to look at the law here. I mean, you might require some territory boundaries or something. But you can create a charter city just like they're doing here, and you amend it. And it's, you know, Santa Cruz is a charter city, and they have full municipal power over municipal affairs in the city. So if we had that for an occupation, then we'd have our own police power, and they wouldn't have jurisdiction to bother anyone.
I mean, I'm sort of hesitant on having, like, police power, but...
what would you have? It'd be consensus police. The consensus. We'd all have to agree to arrest someone.
It'd be like tribes fighting each other.
You know...
Tribal police station.
It just stops the other police from having any jurisdiction.
Yeah, essentially.
I don't know if it's going to work. It's a whole bunch of reading I got to do, and I don't have time.
But
too excited by all this revolution to be able to read legal stuff. You know, it's just not...
Yeah.
There's a revolution happening. How can I read this book? You know?
You know... I drive a car, and it's almost shameful sometimes, but just the control that you notice when you go into the DMV, which I was forced to go into, and how the people feel like, to me, like they're all lost sheep in there, and they're just like having to be there together, and they almost are willing to, you know, be so giving and nice and tolerant, and people are giving me their place in line to get in, to get up in the line earlier, and they're having a problem with their computers today. I was in there, and so the whole system is based on the computer, and so like business couldn't be conducted because their system was down, and the host was seeing this and was.
What
and
was
so,
Commander X doing about this time?
And I was when I finally was able to leave, I was saying, "Yeah, I hope your computer stays up." Yeah, thanks.
Well, one company I really don't like is AT&T.
They're the worst.
They're
with you.
I have had extensive discussions on how they're like anti, you know, anti poor person. Like,
oh, they're fucking.
And you know, you have to go through this whole, like, I mean, like, I've it's so, you know,
how
frustrating.
Many, a long
time. I slapped him down just the other day.
Yeah, we could trade stories, I'm sure, for weeks on that.
But you know, one. The reason why I brought it up was because you brought up the computers, and it's frustrating because all the person you talk to, all they say is like, "Well, the computer won't let me."
I have no authority. I have no authority. They
it's
always
not
say
me,
that.
It's the system.
It's the government does the same thing. I'm not the one in charge. It's someone else. They always try to say that. But all you do, what I did, my friend was she'd signed up for a service and she never used it. Took it back to the store. Said, "Get out of here!" And they told her she didn't have to pay for this. And then she gets a bill later. Oh, the stores don't have the authority to actually discontinue your service. Blah blah blah. So I said, "Put them on speaker." I go, "This all right? You got a witness now. We're giving you legal notice. She's stopping. She doesn't want it. We're gonna go." We're going to go to the store on Saturday and complain there loudly when there's lots of people there. And when that doesn't work, we're going to take it to a lawsuit in small claims court. This is only $100 or something. Mm-hmm. In small claims court, which they won't show up with because, you know, that's only like a half hour of their lawyer's time, you know.
Yeah.
And they'll lose. We'll get a default judgment. And then a sheriff will be sitting there doing a till-tap in that store until she gets her money back. And then all of a sudden, the woman on the phone fixed all the problems that she couldn't fix, you know, 5 minutes like, earlier.
Yeah.
You have to threaten them, and you have to know how to throw legal terms out that they, uh-oh.
Yeah,
you have to do that, and just it's annoying. Have to do that
because if you're regular, because a regular person who doesn't isn't going to threaten them, they'll just keep leading you around, and you'll never get any fucking where.
Yeah,
you have to threaten. That's what I was saying at the direct action. They're just doing these nice marches. They're not really threatening the banks at all. It's just these feel good kinds of things. I mean, no, we need to get out there and force the issue. We need to say, you guys have been ripping people off. You know, we're going to stand out and protest in front of your bank.
Yeah, and some people were scared. I think there's some elderly woman who was inside the bank at the time who, when we were going by and protesting, people were just kind of banging on the windows, it just sort of scared people, and, you know, we're all scary protesters.
Oh, poor baby.
But was that
probably we shouldn't
Chase
do that.
Bank on Saturday?
It was one of the marches.
Yeah, I actually wasn't at the first march where
that first. I wasn't either.
I completely supported it, but...
That wasn't property destruction. It was well within our guidelines.
Yeah, you know.
But maybe we shouldn't do it next time because it didn't really benefit anything. And it gives them look, they scared some little woman. Come on.
Yeah.
That was the same thing for Peace Camp. Why people were scared and had to get sheriffs to escort them into the courthouse because there was homeless people on the lawn in front of the courthouse. They felt, hypothetically threatened.
Well, what we need is to plant like 3 or 4 people inside the bank. And then let all the protesters come, and when they lock the doors, just push it from the inside and let everybody rush in and occupy the bank.
You guys are going to get arrested. Now, that might be, you know...
Brilliant.
I do not recommend that because you might get arrested. Whereas lock the doors, every time you come by, coming by is not a crime.
Yeah.
They're locking the doors. They're the ones that are stopping everyone from getting in. They're the ones that are disrupting their...
Or the ones inside if you can't get out. Then you would have your own signs, or you would attend to an inside protest a little bit scaled down level and just kind of educate people or have a teach-in or something.
While
you're caught in there.
Yeah. Something like 100 people in New York got busted for trying to withdraw their money, you know, to close their accounts because they were attempting to cause a run. But I think it's perfectly legal. Right now, they're not letting us into the bank, so we should just keep going to the door until they can't keep it closed all day.
Yeah,
so at some point, they're going to have to change tactics. We have to respond to the tactic they're using as with a counter-response. And so eventually they'll let us in, and then we can...
Let's just choose one bank, and every day just go to that bank and close it all day.
We could.
Okay,
we could do 3 banks. There's 3 banks very close to that ideal location that we have.
And every day it'll be closed, and because, you know... Mm-hmm.
Or even if it's closed half the day, that means they're getting half their productivity out of their employees. It's costing the corporate money, you know.
Yeah.
They're not going to like that.
Do you think that there needs to be a majority of people agreeing to do that?
Well, there's going to be some autonomous groups doing it. Because like I said, I got down on the direct action, and he defended himself. And in the future, he's going to have to be. Because he wanted to do outreach to the police, you know, and you know he proposed giving them a certificate of approval because they were nice to us
that
on the march.
That was severely shut down by the
severely.
Large, you know, by General Assembly.
I blocked it, Wes blocked it, and somebody else did. And then I went to the meeting afterwards, and he was still proposing something along those lines for after all the radicals went to hear how to talk to the press.
Maybe he's just infiltrating the group.
Well, who knows? I'm not going to say he's working for the cops or anything, but because he's doing other good work. But I mean, I just had to, you know, put a spotlight on him, and he denied that it even happened. He denied that we even had a meeting where we were talking about that. But my brother tells me that's on the website. There's a lot of back and forth about that, and it's to me that's outreach. It shouldn't be a part of direct action.
Casey, are you part of UCSC? You said
do you have
a housemate or that goes there?
Yeah, my housemate is an administrator at UCSC. So and also. A counselor and a teacher. So
I was wondering at what you see as getting students involved in the occupation Santa Cruz.
I can unload that a little bit. There is an action statewide action plan for November 9th. if anybody is interested. There is a meeting on Thursday in Social Sciences 1 from 6 to room 110 from 6 to 8 p.m. So it's to sort of help organize that the actions happening there. And we just got word today that a bunch of labor and teacher unions are getting involved as well. So, and they were calling upon Occupy Santa Cruz to get involved as well. So we got a lot of great things to look forward to in the next, you know, couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to get exciting here.
And Cabrillo College and probably other ones.
Yeah,
You've solidified the camp. You just got to get that porta potty. I mean, I think that's critical. You know.
Yeah. We're on it. And next day or two, we'll have it.
Yeah, and then the camp's secure. We have a legal strategy. You're not really breaking the law on the county side. The county may get upset about us going after the foreclosure thing because it's on county land. So that might cause some heat. But I don't think the banks, they're not going to care about, because when I was doing that city thing, L.A. was trying to charge a business license fee to a bank, and they lost the case. It was considered a state affair because banks only pay tax at the state level. So we don't. Mm-hmm. If we close down the banks, the county and the city don't really care all that much. If we close down Pacific, the city is going to be livid piss because they get tax money out of there. We should close down Pacific if they harass us for sleeping on the city land. That's when we should, you know, we should target based on their behavior. Right now, we can target on the banks because they've been horrible for years, and no one's really going to defend them. Everyone's against them.
Yeah. I totally agree. So, what was I thinking? I find it really pertinent to mention that the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. The United States is the only country in the world who has not adopted it. Like,
that's because you have no right to sleep in America.
Yeah, and there's people from the UN who are declaring, like, the U.S. is, you know, violating people's human rights. Like,
there's going to be that UN march. Did you just mention that or something?
We're going to be part of that
or something. That's coming up. When is that? That's real quick.
I know. MUFON has been, you know, involved in that.
Saturday, I think. Saturday, there's a UN march that Occupy Santa Cruz is going to join, as well as WAMFest is also this Saturday.
Yeah.
And we're already occupying some of the land that they're, but they're kind of small, and they probably appreciate us being here.
You know, Valerie.
And Valerie's a radical, so she's not going to
care. Valerie Correll actually just won the Hammer of Justice Award. And what are we going? Occupy Santa Cruz is, you know, social, environmental, and economic justice. Like, how can we not get along?
But I'll tell again, in the direct action group, some people were saying, well, we shouldn't associate ourselves with a bunch of pot smokers. I'm going, man, there are some very seriously ill people in WAM.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just for, you know, human ethics we should support it, you know?
Yeah, it's not pot smokers.
They've got a graveyard on that pot, near that pot farm, you know? A lot of people die from WAM.
They're patients, you know? I don't want to, you know, I don't want to interrupt, you know, people's, you know, ability to spread awareness about medical marijuana, but you know, instead I want to encourage it and spread that awareness. And I was actually going to propose that you know, the WAMFest utilize our teepee.
They can't smoke there because it's on city land. They're doing the whole county thing. They're going on county land to smoke.
They're utilizing
ganja smoke going on there.
Right. Yeah, no, but they have a separate station or sort of tent for that pot smoke. Smoking on county land.
It's the same thing we do.
So they're sort of utilizing the jurisdiction boundaries or whatever. So
you know, that's for any of you who are real radicals. That is, I mean, they're always trying to divide and conquer you. That's the first technique they use. The other side comes pre-divided. They're all divided by jurisdiction. So that's where you just attack them along the seam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So hopefully we get that taken care of. We get the porta potty taken care of, and we get all these different things taken care of, and
you're doing a great job. It is you're feeding a lot of homeless people.
There has been, you know, some reports that I have heard of at least one woman declaring Occupy Santa Cruz as anti-homeless, like we're hoarding all our food and we're, you know, won't let her sit in our chairs because she's not going on marches, and she's like, I've been marching all my life, you know, and why do I, you know, get treated this way? And
I heard
we
some
could have a special section. You could get have a place for them.
What is the story on that?
Huh?
Story on what?
On the, I mean, I heard early on they were running low on food. It was, you know, the homeless were eating it all up. So I suggested, hey, maybe we should have like a ticket or something. They fly a sign for a while. They get a ticket. They have free meal. As long as they're participating, they have just as much right to the food as any other participant.
Yeah, just then they would only be participating in essence to get food, and that's not what we're all about.
Okay.
But we don't want to exclude them. We really want to educate them and get them involved.
So you are still feeding them. You're not refusing food to them.
I'm not sure if they're actually refusing food. I don't know.
Because I heard you said you had plenty of food today. So I go, all right. Well, we're getting so much that we can afford to feed the homeless and the protesters.
Yeah.
Well, homeless can pay a quarter. Anybody should be able to.
Yeah. I mean, the food is for the people that participate.
Yeah, I mean,
supposedly.
It's supposed to be for that, but we've also been...
That's capitalistic.
Yeah, I mean, but...
sort of.
We've also been, you know, providing food for a significant houseless population. Uh-huh. So, you know, but food in Santa Cruz really isn't an issue. There's all types of soup kitchens all around.
Yeah,
so,
we got a call. Keep going.
But we want to... encourage those people to keep going to those locations. Obviously, they're still around and not starving, but we also don't want to turn them away. You know, that's just inhumane. And so, like, it's a just a very difficult situation in general. So, yeah.
I don't know. I kind of want to go by...
What is your characterization of the homeless people that are at the camp? Do they come to the other part of the camp where the... protesters are having their food and camping and sleeping? Are they intermingling very well for the most part?
They're also
some are. You know, it's I find it very difficult for them to kind of fit into the general population because they just don't have that sense of communication that is sort of normal. But I mean, I don't mind. It's just other people get driven away from that type of behavior, that type of interaction. And a lot of people, and we want more people to come show up and, you know, feel comfortable and stuff like that. And while when people are there obviously drinking and yelling and screaming, you know, murder cops and, you know, stuff like that, because... you know, the destitute population has been sort of brutalized by the police departments of all around, and creating this sense of anger against them among the houseless population. So,
so some might feel alienated when they don't feel they are being allowed to sit with you because they just haven't seen that or witnessed it, but they weren't the ones screaming it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I want them to be there. Like, I think they should be part, but they're also, a lot of them don't really know what's going on or all around the world or really what Occupy Santa Cruz is all about. And, but we want to try to include them, but, you know, they're either on drugs or mental disabilities or whatnot, but I... want to include them and create that space for them.
What do you think of getting a liaison? I don't know if that's the right word, like a social worker or a special person to kind of bridge the gap once in a while.
We
do have, came up.
I'm sorry. We do have a couple people who are, you know, they are houseless and, you know, stay with us and do appeal to that population and are able to communicate with them. Semi-effectively, and so we've been. But those people who do, you know, are also sort of belligerent a lot of the time. So, just really, like, we're asking people to come and give their opinion on how we should handle this issue because we don't want to exclude them, but we also want to include everybody else who feel excluded because they don't feel comfortable around that. So. We're stuck, you know, between a rock and another rock.
Without having to use enforcement of any kind, right?
You know? We don't want to use police enforcement. That's just counterproductive to what we're trying to do.
I think that was
our issue last year, too.
It was handled in a way last year, yeah. They strong-armed or threatened some of the people or did some other kind of measure
the
to control
violence,
them.
Violence.
Yeah.
I suppose, yeah.
Well, there was a violent altercation in the very first night or the next day or something.
On Thursday, the very first day, we went to Occupy after the first General Assembly. It was in the morning around, I don't know, 10:45, and I'm sure a lot of people have seen it. I think there is actually a video on YouTube about it. it actually shows, the woman getting tackled and stuff. So, but a firefighter did get assaulted in the face, and essentially she tackled the houseless rowdy person who actually right before that was interrupting our meeting, which actually was being interrupted by another person who would not leave the floor and were yelling at people to be quiet. And
I was there for that very first part of that, so it didn't get resolved very well.
It was just a bad introduction to a very inspiring movement.
Yes.
So, you know, if people are deterred by that, kind of thing, I encourage them to realize that this is what capitalism promotes and people are foreclosing on their houses and having mental disabilities people with mental disabilities out on the streets because they wanted to shut down more mental institutions and stuff like that.
Thank Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, and so, we need to change what's going on, not avoid it, and so we need, in order to do that, there's all different types of people with all different types of opinions and interests and stuff like that. So we need to be a little more tolerant to that kind of, to this kind of stuff. If you don't like to get dirty, maybe this is the time to just get a little dirty, and tolerate a little bit, for the cause. If you don't
what cause?
Occupy, the Occupy movement.
what does that mean?
We've just been talking about occupying.
I'm teasing because they have no, they don't want to have a
mission
statement.
They're going to have a mission statement soon.
Maybe not. Pass the General Assembly.
For the general take on and the belief or opinion is, it's because the banks sold us out and they got bailed out.
Yeah. Well, that's
how
just
that
part
affects.
Of it.
Do you want to do it?
That's the original idea.
Yeah.
And that kind of makes the world go around.
Yeah. Not really. It makes the world
spin out of control.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about that, but Robert has an announcement about his Huff meeting. Can you hear us, Robert?
I can, and keep up the good dialogue there, although I haven't heard most of it, but sounded good when I was on, particularly when I was on, though.
Yeah, that's the part you missed, right?
Yes. Well, I guess.
Oh, guys, get over yourselves.
All right.
Man. I mean, woman. Anyway, Huff is meeting tomorrow. It's moved temporarily to the American Cafe in the basement of the county building, which is the cafeteria in the basement. The idea being that since there's a protest at 9 o'clock against the banks and then another one at noon, we will situate ourselves between the protests so that we can give the police an opportunity to kind of join the meeting and use our place as a vantage point. I'm actually...
He's being facetious as always.
But we'll be in the basement. There'll be free coffee for people who are showing up.
Robert loves to give away free coffee.
There will be free coffee if for participants. We aren't talking about watchers, onlookers, or should we say errant musicians who look in, sneer, and then leave. Okay?
Coffee is an important part of the movement, and it's been requested that it's there 24/7.
Well, that's nice. If you want to start staffing the table, I'll join you, Coral.
What would you think about...
Doesn't need a table.
Someone coming
I'll
up
table
and...
That.
What do you think about someone coming up, getting coffee, and leaving?
Well, the Cafe Huff is going to do that, but at the Huff meeting, the idea is we're going to have a meeting in the basement of the county building in order to, meet and talk...
What's on the agenda, Robert?
...issues, that sort of thing.
What kind of things are you going to have on the agenda? Why would people come to this meeting?
Why would they? Well, first of all, of course, you get to meet me, and I'm a prime...
I can go to Pacific Avenue for that, Robert. Why would I come to a Huff meeting?
Yeah, we're going to interview you.
Well, you get to see me in a relaxed posture.
At a meeting? I don't think so.
you get to see me in action, you know, commanding the troops, ordering people around. It's pretty exciting.
Or attempting.
Someone requested an intensive background check on you to be exposed on your show.
I could expose myself if you'd like.
Robert Norris Kahn.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about, you know, the Supreme Court and U.S., you know.
Oh, your Nazi salute thing?
The Norris Nazi salute thing. We're going to talk about public record stuff that we've discovered. We're going to talk about outreach from to Occupy Santa Cruz to Huff and vice versa. And, you know, what's got going on with homeless folks. We're going to talk about the 647E and the connections between the lodging law prosecutions against Linda and Chris and the ones against Gary and Ed and the threatened ones against the Occupation Santa Cruz folks.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about how, you know, that. Well, those are a few of the topics I've got.
All right, well, that's good enough. So people can show up tomorrow from the protest. You could round up some people from the protest, claim that you're a new subcommittee on homelessness, and
we could
get some people with free coffee, too.
I'm hoping that you and you march around to the banks. We'll recruit a few people to drop in at 11 o'clock when there'll be a kind of a breather between the bank protest, which starts at 9, and the foreclosure protest, if there really be a foreclosure auction tomorrow. Sounds unlikely.
We'll have to see. Well, actually, you know, Robert, you could lend a hand to the bank protest because that one is being done autonomously.
Uh-oh. Automata. Well, that's good. I mean, I don't know, but of course, you know, Huff is, I may show up early to check out the protest, but usually I'm pretty, you know.
Bring your posters.
You're up early, sense. Robert. You used to start Huff meetings at like 8:30.
Takes a lot of energy, though, to get the agenda together, even if nobody comes. So that's what I usually spend a lot of time doing.
Oh.
Anyway, you know, I'll be there at 10 o'clock, and the meeting will go from 10 to 12, unless nobody shows, in which case it'll go from 10 to 10:05.
Oh, no, you won't even get there by 10:05.
Well, I might. You never.
More likely, 10:20.
Yes, I know Coral is just eager to cut me off, but if we can just.
We can pot you down, yes.
You are just a.
I'm sitting on the board, though, Robert.
Yeah, well, you're the one. I appreciate that for you.
But so you better say something useful, or I am
going
to cut you off.
You're going to be at the protest tomorrow at 9, I assume, or maybe.
I'm going to try. At least it's hard for me.
Yeah, I understand.
On the other side of town.
But if you can, you might direct people to check out the Huff meeting for coffee and chat between 11 and 12, which there'll be a break in the protesting. So
I didn't want to know your opinion on something. If
you did or didn't?
Did. Okay. Without the NT. If a houseless person did show up to your meeting and, you know, got some coffee and left, what would you...
We'd beat him up and, you know, turn him into the police, probably, and also try to get his campsite, raid it, steal his tent.
Yeah.
Robert would make him puke up back into the cup, you know.
Actually, what usually happens is what happens at the Sub Rosa when you have our meetings is plenty of homeless people come by, if it happen at all, they get coffee, they sit in for a few minutes, and then they take off. That's what happens.
Yeah, and actually, Robert... His meetings aren't attended well enough to cover the $10 he gives them for his coffee, so they usually pocket $7 or some as a donation.
Sub Rosa is using its money for a terrorist network.
The coffee's more expensive at the cafeteria, Robert. You're taking on more of a charge here.
That's true, but it'd be that I think we're going to get less people, frankly, but we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see. We'll bring the whole protest down for coffee, Robert.
And I think we are trying, by the way, to... Casey, I know you're planning to rendezvous with the Huff table and so forth... I think Becky's going to be ready to pick up that table later, along with the literature. So if you can bring it down tomorrow, that would be good.
Yeah, I'll you know, do that and
okay.
Hold on to it.
Well, thank you, Robert.
And thank you, and thank everybody there. And remember to occupy...
There you go.
Everything.
Yes.
Occu-what?
Pie. What kind of pie?
Occu.
They got bailed out. We got sold out.
All right. Well, just remember that they are stealing our houses... One
it's
foreclosure.
Our fucking land.
Whose
this is
houses?
The Free the Land show. This is our country. It's not the bank's country. It's not the land of the banks. It's the land of the free.
You can bank on it, buddy.
That's right.
Talk to you later.
Fucking Babylonian banks.
Okay. See you tomorrow.
See you, bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, well, I brought that. I wanted to know his opinion on that because he is a large homeless advocate and And we do get houseless folks coming to our camp, you know, showing up, getting food or drinks or whatever, and taking off. So, yeah.
Been,
what can you do?
Robert has been very, what do you call it? Generous.
Generous.
With people coming and showing up at meetings. And
I've seen him buy Blind Bear some very expensive meals.
Buying food items, buying coffee, and
so we'll try to do the same.
Mm-hmm. Whatever. Well, actually, that's what you're actually achieving, right? I mean, most people that are camping there, I imagine, have houses to go to that are part of the protest, mm-hmm. so they're not really benefiting by being there. It's more of a hardship to be there. Whereas the homeless, hey, this is a safe place to sleep where we're not going to get raped or, you know, rousted by the cops. So you're actually providing them a safe place to sleep and with some very excellent food, I'm hearing.
Yeah, you know, we try to keep it vegetarian or vegan or something like that. Uh-huh. But we know we had a venison soup today.
I heard there was a deer leg or something at some point. I go, what the hell? Where did they get that?
It was from like... I forgot, but I was there when they gave it to us. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, I saw that. I was going, whoops. Where'd that come from? Is that legal?
Wild game.
Is this deer season?
It could have been frozen.
Maybe, yeah. But, it's, you know, a difficult situation in general. I love that idea of, you know, providing a safe place for houseless folks to sleep, but, you know, it sort of also drives a lot of other people away through them feeling uncomfortable or unsafe.
Well, you have you now have a camp coordinator. I think it should be called Camp Watch myself.
Yeah, well, we do have like a camp watcher all night and all day.
And are you filming?
Filming.
I mean, you said you talked that violence altercation was caught on film before. Mm-hmm. I think the same techniques that can be used for Cop Watch can also be used against other criminals besides mm-hmm. the cops.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really film down there, but we...
eventually they will when the police start coming in. Yeah. I mean, I know you've been involved in some Cop Watch stuff. You were filming while you were on the job, actually. You handed out flyers or something on Pacific, and you saw some cops harassing some homeless, and you started filming it, and then they went right to your boss and tried to get you fired.
Yeah, without talking to me. You know, like they just went there and, you know... Yeah, and maybe they tried to get me fired, but maybe they were just trying to inform my boss what I was doing on the job.
None of your business.
Yeah.
Well, you're still handing out flyers while you're filming. I mean, it didn't affect your ability to do your job.
Yeah, I set my phone down and kept flying.
He's a multitasker.
You know, that's what they, you know. Uh-huh.
The cops are scared of those cameras. Another time we were coming back from the Sopoza where we were just talking about Cop Watch and anti-police stuff, and some skateboarder had been filming the police, and you saw police come up behind him, and we talked to the guy, and the cop mm-hmm. told him, you put that away or I'm going to arrest you.
He actually filmed it, so mm-hmm. They came up behind the guy filming, so he didn't get the police on film, but he was filming the fight that was apparently happening, and... the cops told them to put it away or they were going to arrest them. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that was just kind of ironic that, you know, we came out of a Cop Watch meeting mm-hmm. and some kid, you know, not even involved who did that. But
I'm hoping to somehow get a Cop Watch going here. I mean, the other day I was at the Sub-Rosa and somebody, hey, the cop's making people lay down on the street. You got a camera, I can go film it. Well, we have a camera, but it's only for police within Sub-Rosa. You know, it's like, oh, man, we were talking about getting cheap cameras and it would have been perfect. Yeah. I don't know. It's just hard. I'm kind of an asshole, so I'm not able to organize for shit. Yeah. Robert's a better organizer than me.
Yeah.
Well. Everyone's learning. They come to this whole occupation with the need to express, and then they can learn and then act
mm-hmm.
and develop themselves as people, whereas they could shut down in other places a lot.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people express, learn, and that's it.
The camera is everything. That's what's propelled this thing. They film the cops beating them up.
The third step.
We need to get the same kind of thing going on here where we catch the cops doing something bad and it'll help our movement a lot.
Yeah.
By the way, if they do tell you can't film, the Ninth Circuit has decided within this, as long as you're going to put it up somewhere, like as a member of the press, mm-hmm. it's legal. And it's particularly if you're recording voice and it's just two people and one person doesn't consent to it, mm-hmm. you can get, you know, quite serious time for wiretap. It's like 10 to 15 years or something.
Yeah.
But if there's a lot of people standing around, there is no expectation of privacy at that point.
Hmm.
So, you know, always have somebody else with you while you're tape recording the police, and now there is no expectation of privacy, and you're going to put it up. You have the intention of publishing it to the public. They arrest you. You've got a hefty lawsuit that you can put a lot of money in your pocket. I mean, it's like $2,000 to $3,000 a day if you're illegally jailed. Mm-hmm. Somebody got $1 million for being in jail for a year.
Yeah, and I think that
one of the few ways you can make money as a activist.
Yeah. And I think that that sort of law was reinforced by a recent Supreme Court decision.
Yeah, that was in the first district. That says that you can record the police anytime they're doing their work, public work. You know, they don't have no expectation of privacy while they're on the job.
Yeah.
And that's only in the First Circuit, and that's just a few states.
As long as you're on public property as well. But, you know.
Yeah, that's another thing. You want to be on public property. You don't want to interfere with the police in any way. Don't obstruct them, or you shouldn't really even talk to them unless talking to.
No, ask their badge number, maybe.
Well, no, you're not being arrested. You don't want to interfere. Because you're filming them arresting somebody. So if you start bugging them, you're interfering with the arrest. When we go down to that auction, if it happens tomorrow, we don't want to interfere with the auction. We just want to have the signs and silently, you know, just like Robert's Nazi salute. It's a silent protest. It doesn't obstruct what's going on. We can't be arrested for it.
Cool. I'm down. I just have work from 10 to 2 tomorrow, so.
But there'll be people doing it.
Yeah. You know, I'll rally troops to go for me. Maybe.
But will you be at the meeting that you mentioned on Thursday at UCSC?
I will be. Yeah, that I want to help them in whatever I can, because it seems like they're going to help us. So it just seems logical to, you know, do that.
Well, we've been having Casey on our show, a good friend of ours. He's an activist. It's coming of age here with Occupy Santa Cruz.
Yeah. Coming the movement of the month, year. Yeah.
Well, he's becoming a personality like Robert or Wes Modes. I mean, he's becoming well known as an activist.
He's just being what we need right now.
Mm-hmm. He's a nice guy. Like I said, he's not hooked into any one thing right now, or his reputation doesn't have to defend it. He can be perfectly sincere and do whatever he wants politically.
That's what everyone should be able to do.
Yeah, but you get a reputation, then you have to protect it.
You know, I mean, like, that's the problem with, like, our, you know, people just don't want to, like, they have that feeling like, oh, you say something and you can't take it back. The whole John Kerry thing, like, the flip-flopper, you know, I think that should be encouraged.
Actually, that's, if you want to destroy your other opponent, always accuse them of being a flip-flopper. I mean, who needs a leader that can't make up their mind? Anybody can do that.
Well, you know, if new information comes to light, maybe you should be.
I know, but psychologically, you always want to pin flip-flopping on the other guy.
Yeah.
Because then he's dead, or she.
Yeah. But, you know, like, yeah, that's, just, you know.
That, in terms of what you're talking about, do you think that's just an apolitical way? Because you don't need to defend anything if you're going to be able to express yourself truthfully anyway. I mean, if you have to say, this is what I see as a truth, and then you might have to change your mind, and there should be no defense or excuse why you had to change your mind. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, I mean, if someone comes to you and, you know, you're having a debate or something, and they sufficiently, you know, bring things to light that you didn't know before, like, why should you still be, like, arrogant enough to hold down your original point?
Absolutely. You'll notice that's why most politicians seem like they're for everything, but they aren't really for anything.
Yeah.
For that, just that reason, they don't want to get pinned down in the wrong and making a mistake that can haunt them forever.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, retarded.
Got to stop thinking like that.
That's politics, and that's part
but
of the human psychology.
Do you think this movement wants to be like politics?
No,
I hope
they don't.
Not.
They don't. No leaders.
No. Essentially, I don't.
They make a big point of trying to change the facilitators. Unfortunately, facilitating is a hard job to do because you can't have a point of view, and everybody has a point of view. So they're having to use the same facilitators a lot.
Yeah, well, they're trying to, you know, bring back, you know, of the people, by the people, for the people, you know, kind of thing. You know, it's actually for the people, not profit. So
it's a form of direct democracy.
Yeah.
Although some will say it's anarchism.
Perhaps, you know, they're.
But anarchism is actually a subset of democracy. It's the people's democracy.
Yeah, and, you know, socialism is as well, I think.
Socialism is an economic system.
Yeah, yeah. It's, no, yeah. I still got to brush up on all that.
I don't know all that much of it either.
I haven't had much time. They don't teach you socialism in college. They don't teach you, like, you know, V.I. Lenin and, you know, Kropotkin and stuff in college. You got to, that's all, you know, self-education. So, you know.
The commie college. Actually, Rodkin claims he's a socialist, but, you know, he teaches up there. And he's got a program that is.
Could just study history. Is history?
Yeah, history is a good thing to study, yeah. You know, but you got to read a lot of books.
Might repeat too.
I hated history in school, but I'm loving it as I get older.
You know, actually, I was up at a meeting, a socialist meeting on campus, and we went around and, you know, asked each other who we were and, you know, what our majors were and stuff. And there were a significant amount of people in history. You know, that what are they teaching in history classes? I don't know. They're getting people to become like socialists or something.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're running out of time here, and it's been like an hour and a half, and these files get hard to deal with when they get big, so I'm going to stop taping now. This has been Free the Land. Casey's been on. It's October 18th, 2011. We're talking about Occupy Santa Cruz. Thank you for listening.
Adios.
It's been a pleasure.
Wow, it's so quiet.